I'm not quite there yet, but if you are a grandparent, please, happy Grandparents Day. That's your gift from me. All right. So I'm going to ask you to open up your Bible. You know, as Tom was talking, I was thinking about the different people I was stationed with who grew up in other nations that were just blown away by how they moved to America and were able to join the Marine Corps through different ways, and how astounded they were to have the freedom and the liberties that we have to go to a restaurant at 11:30 p.m. because you're hungry and you need a bite, or whatever the freedom may be. But it's just amazing. So if you have your Bible, I'm going to ask you to open up to Philippians chapter 4, where I want to continue this thought that we began last week, and we might finish it this week. I'm not quite sure. I'll just go ahead and warn you. You know, we notice that the seats are kind of full, so I'll just go ahead and warn you. Next week or the week after, we're going to start a series about money. So it might be a little emptier in the next couple of weeks, all right? But what we're doing is we're going to talk about how God has given us ways to handle the resources that he has entrusted us to handle. That our money is not our own. We are actually just the stewards of it. We have been blessed to possess it temporarily, and how are we to live with money? How are we to spend our money? I always tell people, you can tell who your God is or what your gods are based off how you balance your calendar and your checkbook. And I'm not coming to attack you. I'm not coming to ask you to bring your pay stub from 2020 so that we can start, you know, investigating how much you give or what you bring. But we are going to look at God's word when it refers to money, how you and I can live as good stewards and live generously, not just in a financial way, but that God is actually more concerned about the heart in which you have than the amount of money in which you carry. And we're going to start that, could be next week. So if you thought, man, already about money, I haven't preached on money in 5 years because it's a very, very sticky situation and very controversial for some people, but we're going to approach it. I figured after 5 years, if they haven't gotten rid of me yet, I'm hopefully in good standing. So we're going to address it. And this week, maybe even next week, I'm not 100% sure, we're doing this series that we called Coffee Cup Context. And last week we addressed Jeremiah chapter 29:11, and now we're going to address Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. And this is what Paul wrote to the Philippian church. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Or maybe your translation reads, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Has anyone ever heard this verse? Just raise your hand. Has anyone ever prayed it while you went into a competition? Yeah. Okay, so here's what I'm going to share with you, a little bit of how we can take this verse completely out of context. You have the beautiful blessing today. One of my high school coaches is here, and he can attest to this. I used to have Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 written in all my ball caps, and I used to write it on my tennis shoes. Isn't that right, boy? I used to write some stuff on my tennis shoes. I used to write Philippians 4:13, and I would also write Drano. Because I thought, boy, you know, God's going to bless me, and I'm going to make all these shots. So here's what I thought. I thought, surely a little 5'10", 165-pound kid from Leadwood, Missouri, if he has Jesus on his side, he can really do all things. And I went into competitions and ball games thinking that this little bitty, you know, scrawny little kid was going to dunk all over somebody, and I was going to start hitting home runs. Did it help, Bull? No. I was beyond helpless. I was beyond helpless. Yeah, thanks for thinking about it. Well, you know, but I can remember writing this particular verse on all of my shoes and in all of my ball caps, and I would even write it in my glove thinking, man, I'm going to not make an error. And then, hold up, you know, or I'm going to do all of these marvelous things. And this is what Paul is not saying in this verse, because we can hear this verse like, oh, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and we'll hear it, and we'll think about it, and here's what we do. We take it completely out of context, because Paul is not saying that you and I can do anything or be anything. This is not what Paul's saying. And whenever I thought about this verse, I thought, boy, surely if Jesus, you know, if Christ can raise from the dead, he can take me and make me really special, and he can make me really strong, and I can do all these mighty things that I really couldn't do. But I thought, surely if he can come back to life from the dead, he could take someone like me and make just something out of it. You know, he not a lot to work with, but maybe he's just kind of work it to do something. And here's what Paul is not saying, that you and I can be or do anything. But let's just talk about something real quick. If there's a parent or a grandparent, or if you've ever been entrusted to raise children, stop lying to them, telling them that they can do anything that they set their minds to. All right? I was told that growing up, and I believed it. So whenever I believed that, and then I also took Philippians 4:13 out of context, I really thought I was going to be special. I really thought I was going to accomplish a lot of great things. And I have done, I think, in my life, I've done a lot of good and cool and productive things. But I just knew that I was going to be the shortstop for the St. Louis Cardinals, and I was going to wear a nice silver or gold chain with my number on it. I didn't even make it to the Mac Cardinals, all right? I had all these high dreams that LeBron and I were going to be running the court. I can't play pickup anymore at the local First Baptist on Tuesday nights because I'm so out of shape and so unathletic anymore. And I had all of these big dreams and these big desires, and I thought, I can do it all because Christ strengthens me and I set my mind to it. Well, just stop lying to your kids. You don't have to tell them all the truth all the time, you know, because here's the reality. You and I are people with limits. Did you know that? That you and I are only capable of doing what we are capable of doing. There are some things that I just cannot do. There are some things that you just cannot do. And what we do is we set ourselves up for failure thinking, well, Jesus is going to strengthen me doing whatever I ask him to bless me in. And what Paul is not saying also in this text is that God is just going to bless you in whatever you choose to do with your life. He's not saying that I can do anything in this life because Christ is the one who strengthens me and he's going to bless me in every step along the way. That's not what he's saying. And I think far too many times I remember thinking, well, I can do anything because I set my mind to it. Let's just be real. If there's any kids in here, I'm sorry if this offends you. But based off the way some kids sound, you know they'll never hold a mic. Don't encourage them to. If you know, they just don't, they are not going to hold a mic. You can encourage them, but just be real with them. You know, there are going to be some kids that we know based off the way they run, they're never going to compete. All right, so we don't have to lie to our kids. We can just kind of tell them, well, keep working hard, honey. Let's find some things that you are good at, or you know, let's focus on something else. I would tell you that based off my oldest daughter, she sounds a lot like me. Oh. So let's focus on something away from music, all right? Let's just focus on what you may be good at. And the reality is that we set ourselves up for failure thinking that we can do anything or be anything, and it's actually left us in a mess in America today, and we'll address that later. But we can't just be anything or do anything because we think we can or because we believe that Jesus is going to bless us in whatever we choose. But here's what you can do. Because there are different types of people in this particular room. There are some of you who are musically inclined but can't shoot a basketball through a window. There are some of you that can run for days and days and days but can't sing a lick. There are some of you that can speak extremely well in front of other people. And there are some of you that would rather vomit all over your feet. Let's just face it. Not everyone's going to be a music leader. Not everyone's going to preach from the pulpit. Not everyone's going to own their own business. There are some people that don't need to be giving orders. They need to just obey what they've been given and do the daily task. There are just some people that have different abilities and we have different gifts. But here's what we all can do. Whether you're going to be a musician, whether you're going to be a business owner, whether you're going to be a preacher, what we all can do is we can all continue to love the Lord Jesus Christ and follow him and serve him in mighty ways. And you are all capable of sharing the gospel with someone that you know or someone that you love. And each and every one of us possess the ability to go and to kick the devil in the teeth every chance that we get. All of us. Why did I say that? Because Paul also wrote to the Romans that the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, guess what? lives inside of me. So there are going to be things that I'm not going to be able to do in my own strength. There's going to be some jobs that are going to be outside of my, you know, capabilities. Just in fact, last night, Michaela and I put together a dresser. And every single project I have tried, there's always one piece backwards. And I don't know if it's the instructions or the way that I interpret those instructions, but it would not be a keen project if there wasn't one piece of something upside down or backwards. And sure enough, we did it together. We read the instructions together, and we still did it together. So if you're needing something repaired in your home, don't call me. All right? I mean, if you're needing something manly done, I have plenty of men in my phone that I will guide you to. I'm not your guy, all right? But if you need other things, I can maybe do some things, but I'm just not the guy for that. So I have limits. But there's one thing that we all share in common, those of us who believe in Jesus, is that the same Spirit that raised him from the dead lives within us. So we may not be able to do these things physically, but guess what? Every chance that I get, I can share the love of Jesus Christ with someone who you might view unlovable. And guess what? Their life may radically change by the grace and the power of God, and I will kick the devil in the teeth every chance that I get. And you possess the same Spirit. If you are here and you are a follower and a believer in Jesus Christ, and you have surrendered your life completely to him, the same Spirit that raised him from the dead lives within you. So there are going to be things that I cannot do physically. I may not be able to open the doors, you know, educationally. I may not have the pedigree, but I still have the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. And I will spend the rest of my days on this particular planet using my opportunity to kick the devil before I waste another moment, because I am a limited being. I am only so strong, or I am only so smart. We are only so skilled. But the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me. So Paul was saying, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. So whenever we read a few verses before that, let's just look at verse 12. No, verse 11. He says, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. He's talking to the Philippian church that's kind of sponsored him and endorsed him financially along his journey to share the gospel. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. He goes on to write, even in Thessalonica, you sent my help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable. And he goes on to write, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory of Christ Jesus. So he's writing about the fact that he has been in moments in life in which he had so much that he had to share with other people. It may have been food, it may have been money. And then he's also had moments in life in which he has experienced the realness and the feeling of poverty. And what he's talking about is it doesn't matter how much money I have or how much food I may have, you know, to eat, I can do it all. So here's the thing. If you're rich, guess what? You can do all things in Christ. If you're here today and you're poor, guess what? You can continue to do all things in Christ who strengthens you. And he's talking about the fact that it didn't matter whether he was rich or whether he was poor, whether he was eating with pigs or dining in a palace, he was still able to do all things. Well, what is all things? I wanted to know, what is all things? And I believe that I've come to realize, and I'm not telling you that Paul tells me this directly, but whenever we look at all things, we understand that each and every person, if you are a believer in Christ, you are now called, you are now equipped to participate in discipleship making of disciples. You and I are now called, and we are positioned to make disciples of Jesus who will go out and make disciples of Jesus. So whenever Paul says, I can do all things, here's what I really believe he's talking about. He is still able to love the Lord with all of his heart, mind, soul, and strength. He is able to still serve the Lord, and he is still able to love and to serve other people. So it doesn't matter how rich you are, it does not neglect the responsibility that you have to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. It doesn't matter how poor you may feel, it does not justify the fact that you aren't serving other people any opportunity that you have. Because you can do all things in Christ who strengthens you. So I am here to tell you that what Paul is saying, and I believe what he is saying to the church, is that it doesn't matter what I have, what I own, I am still capable, because Christ is the one that strengthens me. I'm still capable of serving, loving the Lord with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, and I am still called and held responsible and accountable to love and to serve other people. And whenever we love the Lord with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, you know what goes hand in hand with that? Our obedience to His word. Our obedience to His way. Our obedience to His commandments. So whenever we claim to love the Lord all with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and if you're here today, let me just ask you, who loves the Lord? I mean, who loves Jesus, right? I love Jesus. Well, whenever you say that, be aware of what you're saying. Whenever you truly say you love the Lord, you are now taking yourself and putting yourself in position. Well, you're now responsible to uphold and obey His word. You are now responsible to obey His commandments. So regardless of your circumstances, it never justifies the fact or never gives you the right to disobey His word. It never gives you the right or never neglects you from remaining obedient and staying away from sin. You know, and I'm going to say a few things here. Just because we have a long day or a long week, it never justifies the actions of drunkenness. Never. Just because things might not be hot and heavy at home never justifies never gives us the right to go and look other way. Never. Never does the circumstance that we find ourselves in our home or in our workplace or in our financial status, never do those circumstances justify the fact that we will now act in a sinful way. But here's the thing. You are called to do all things in Christ who strengthens you. You are held responsible and accountable to obey His words. If you're here today and you say that I love the Lord, then you're not just supposed to love Him when it's good. You're not just loving them when the pay continues to come in. You can make $100,000 this year, or God, or the world could end, you know, in chaos like it did in 2020, and your job could be shut down, and you could lose everything. Guess what? You are still to love the Lord your God. You are still to serve the Lord your God. You are still to love and to serve other people as He's called you to. So what He's saying is, it doesn't matter the circumstance. It's the commitment that I have to Christ, and it's the context in which we read these verses that we see that Paul is talking about the fact that in all things and in all times, he's still serving the Lord. He's still worshiping the Lord. He's still committed to other people, because I can do all things. And whenever we think of Paul, we think of a man that has gone through a lot in his life. I mean, he was shipwrecked, he was beaten, he was stoned nearly to death, left for dead, got back up and said, man, that kind of hurt, and I guess I'll go do it again. You know, and then he ended up being martyred for his faith in Christ. A man that went through a lot of persecution said, it doesn't matter. I'm going to continue to preach. Even in the face of persecution, I'm going to continue to preach the name of Jesus. Even when life doesn't feel good, I'm going to continue to preach the name of Jesus. Even when life doesn't look good, he had a joy that wasn't dictated by the circumstances that he found himself in. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to ask yourself, am I one that has a constant joy, or am I tossed like the waves from circumstance to circumstance? You know, on Monday, you're all happy and peppy, and I'm going to work. And then by like Monday night, you're mad at the world and ready to just quit. I mean, by Tuesday morning, you've got your coffee in, and I'm ready to go, and I'm ready to take on the world, and everything's going good. And you know, when the pay raise comes in, everything's happy. And here's what's happens whenever we are not strengthened in the Lord, whenever we do not truly love and worship the Lord, We will begin to build our contentment. We will build our strength upon ourselves. And the problem is you and I are limited people who cannot truly do what God is able to do. So we will be tossed from Monday to Tuesday, from the good moment to the bad moment. We'll be living and shouting with joy one moment, and then 3 hours later, we're facing anxiety and depression in such a way that we're just constantly tossed from one circumstance to the other. And where we have to grow, when we find ourselves spiritually mature, it doesn't matter what it looks like. I still rest in Christ. It doesn't matter how it feels. It doesn't matter whether I'm sick or healthy. It doesn't matter if I'm rich or I'm poor. It doesn't matter if I'm, you know, got the position or if I've just been let go. I will steadily rest in the Lord. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because I don't need a paycheck to strengthen me. I don't need a new vehicle to strengthen me. I don't need a better job to strengthen me. All those things I would love to have. We would love to have more money. We would love to have a better job. We would love to have more free time. We would love to have a healthy body. We would love to have all of our prayers answered. But here's what we have to do. We have to say, even when the prayers go unanswered the way we wanted, I can still worship and serve the Lord, and I can still serve the people that God has called me to serve. I can still love Jesus, and I can still worship him, and I can still share his name. And I love how he goes on to say, my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. See, there is a big difference between a want and a need, right? A big difference between a want and a need. And if we aren't careful, we will immaturely spend our lives asking God to bless us and strengthen us in things that we want, and he's looking down and saying, that's not what you need. That may not be what you need. The power or the fame or the popularity may be what we want, and we're asking him to give us the strength because we got to make our name known, and we got to be the best, or we got to be the biggest. And what he's saying is, I just need you to worship me. I just need you to surrender your heart completely to me. I just need you to go to that family member or that friend that you know who is fighting depression or is sick with cancer or has turned their back on their family or has been left alone. I need you to go and to be my hands and my feet to them. That's what you need. So whenever we find ourselves asking, what is it that I want? What is it that I need? We have to understand that there's a big difference between our wants and what God needs to do in and through us. But he is saying that I can do all things in Christ. And knowing that God will supply all of my needs, guess what? It takes a lot of stress off of me. It takes a lot of stress off of me, because if everything in my life was determined by the capabilities that I have, I would be tossed from moment to moment. Because listen, there are some moments where I feel really good about myself. And I feel really smart. And then there's some moments where I feel like I'm a complete failure, and if there is no hope for me, woe is me, and everything's going to crumble down. But if I can just rest assured that Christ will supply all of my needs, and if I can just be content in all circumstances, then I will be able to do all things. Then I will be able to worship when I find myself in the valley lows, and I will be able to praise his name even on the mountaintops. See, there's mountaintop moments and there are valley low moments that we all experience. Let me just raise your hand if you've ever felt on the mountaintop. You know, life couldn't be better, and you're just leaping for joy, and you're just smiling every day like you weren't smiling for 6 years, you know, prior, but things are changed now, and I'm just happy, and Karen's happy at work now, and Jimmy's smiling down the road, and everything's great, and we have those moments, and guess what? It's in those moments that you ought to praise the Lord, because when you stand on the mountaintop, you're able to look down and see all of the things that you overcame to get where you are to now. It's in that moment that you ought to remember that he is the one that helps you walk up the mountainside, and he is the one that brought you to where you are. But then just raise your hand if you've ever had those valley low moments. Like, life couldn't get any worse. I mean, like, it took an act of Congress almost for you to have the ability or the motivation to get up out of bed or off the couch to continue on. You just felt like everything was crumbling apart and falling apart and everything's come crumbling down. And you know, kind of like, who's the Notre Dame guy that fell off the wall? Humpty Dumpty, you know, like day after day, you know, I wake up, I drink my coffee, and boom, I just fall right down. And then they put me back together and I start the next day and it just, boom, here I am, cracking all over the place. And I'm all broken and it feels like life couldn't get any worse. Well, here's what I heard about valley lows. They say that the most fertile soil is actually in the valley lows. And the beautiful thing is that, of that is if you find yourself in those particular moments, just know that there is the most opportunity that God has to do something mighty in you. So when I find myself in those valley lows, when you find yourself in those moments of brokenness, guess what? You can still do all things. You can still go to work. You can still love your spouse. You can still raise your children. You can still work hard in your job. You can still worship the Lord. And guess what? When you find yourself on those mountaintop moments, I'm only here because of the Lord pushing me and guiding me and directing me and empowering me to finally find myself here and I've overcome this or I've grown this far. But it's in those moments that you ought to sing out loud and praise his holy name, because it's even in those moments where you could make it all about you that I can do all things. I'm not just going to praise him when it's good and when I find myself on top of everything, but I'm here to praise him even though it feels like I couldn't get any lower. Like life couldn't get any worse. Paul is saying, guess what? It doesn't matter. I can do all things. It doesn't matter how good life is, I can do it all. It doesn't matter how painful it feels. It doesn't matter who says what about me. It doesn't matter what sickness I might find myself diagnosed with. It doesn't matter because I can do all things in him. So my plea with you today is to ask yourself, are you empowered by yourself or are you dependent upon the power of the Lord, upon the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that can live inside of you and empower you, not just to preach the gospel, but to literally have the motivation to walk after days or weeks of darkness, brokenness, anxiety, depression? Are you one that's just tossed from circumstance to circumstance, or are you just here and you're content? I'm just content. Doesn't matter what comes my way tomorrow, I'm going to be content resting in the Lord because he's going to supply my every need. I'm going to be content even whenever I make the big bucks because I am not dictated. My happiness isn't dictated by the paycheck. My contentment, my joy is all rooted in the Lord who died in my place and rose on the third day so that I could have life and life everlasting. So how are you strengthened today? How are you empowered? Are you content or are you constantly chasing, constantly wondering, constantly worrying, constantly losing sleep, constantly anxious, constantly fearful of what's going to come or what may come? What is tomorrow going to hold? What is the doctor going to say? What are the bills going to look like? And what we will do is we will drive ourselves crazy if we build our lives upon our own strength, because guess what? You and I are limited beings. I and you are only so strong. We are only so smart, and we are only so skilled. So my encouragement for you today, my plea with you today, is to find yourself calling upon the name of Jesus to supply every need that you have. Not every want. Don't expect him to bless every desire that you have. And don't ask him to bless you even if you're going to live in sin, but I'm still going to try to do good. No. I need you to get on your face and in his presence and just ask him to give you what you need. And the greatest thing that you and I could ever need is an eternal salvation founded in the name above names in the Lord of Lords. His name is Jesus. And he came to die in your place, to rise on the third day. And then he ascended into heaven and he said, it's actually for your good because there is one that is going to come, the helper, and he will live in you. And I'm here today to preach to you, not because of my own skill, because I'm not very skilled. I'm here today to preach to a church full of people, not because of how smart I am. I'm not real smart, okay? I got a 20 on my ACT, I think. I'm not real smart. I'm not real skilled. I am real strong, but that's another point. I'm not real strong mentally, physically. I'm only here today because the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead took a young, ignorant, uneducated man and said, I can do something here. It may not be much, but I'm going to do something here. And it was my willingness to say, here I am. I need you. Supply my needs. Lord, I am simply dependent upon you. So will you just humble yourselves and say, I have spent my entire lives trying to find myself and trying to build myself and strengthen myself. And can you just find yourselves today humbly calling upon his name and saying, Lord, I have tried it all on my own. I'm tired of feeling anxious. I'm tired of being fearful. I'm tired of being worried. I give it all to you, and I need you to supply my need. And can we leave here today saying, I will do all things. I will face all circumstances, and I will strongly fight and walk at all times. Let's pray.